Can you kind of break down a little bit of that history and tell us some of the major changes of just the different evolutions that Lightspeed has gone through?
Our corporate office is located in Salt Lake City, Utah. Lightspeed has become its own LLC. And so we are currently working very hard, and it's going to take a while, but we are no longer affiliated with CDK at all.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the latest episode of the Dealership Fix It podcast. I'm coming back to you again. My name is Jacob Berry. We've got today with us Jeremy Johnson. He's the director of OEM solutions for Lightspeed Evo. Now, on the podcast here, we always like to keep things fluid and fair for all the different vendors and all the different value propositions that these guys have out there. Certainly, Lightspeed Evo is no small name when it comes to the power sports and motorcycle industry. A lot of people that would be listening to this right now, they probably already have an account or they've had some kind of interaction in the past with it. But we'll go ahead and say that most of the people listening probably have a Lightspeed Evo account. So we brought Jeremy on today to kind of talk about a little bit of the things going on with Lightspeed Evo, maybe some of the changes internally that the company has made. They're no longer with a partnership that we'll get into with CDK here in a minute. But really just to try to provide as much value to the audience listening to this show that already have a Lightspeed Evo account. And with that, we'd like to welcome you, Jeremy. Thank you for coming on.
Well, awesome. Thanks, Jacob, for having me on.
All right, man. So let's start this out the same way I like to start it out. Whenever I bring in a guest, I always like to kind of, you know, hey, let's talk about your resume, right? Let's talk about your experience in the power sports vertical, right? So why don't you just start us off with kind of what you've done, where you've been, and, you know, within the power sports industry, what kind of experience you've got?
Yeah, I think starting forward, obviously, you know, with most of us, we grew up riding something. You know, I can remember my dad bringing back, you know, my first KX80 dirt bike. I originally started off on a little Honda 50 that we had a family friend that had some older sons. And then my dad actually was a mechanic by trade and owned a body shop. But so he would work on their machines. And when they outgrew it, I got the hand-me-down. From there, you know, I go back. I just shared a picture just recently. So for my graduation present, I got a 1982 Yamaha Virago street bike that I got to ride for a year and kind of get under that. And then the following year was 1995. When I was a year out of high school, I went and bought a brand new YZF 600. Had that for a couple of years. Since then, I had an older CB350 that I rebuilt years ago. And now, just currently have an ATV, some boats, you know, but I try to do all the stuff that we sell. As far as my professional career, really when I got into the power sports segment is I started working for a company called 50 Below Sales and Marketing in Duluth, Minnesota, which is where I reside currently now. 50 Below was just a website provider that went after kind of corporate sponsored, and Polaris was one of their first three clients. And within about 6 months of me working there, I was handed Polaris and started working all of their dealers. And thinking back there on the website where we would sell just a website, a domain name, and some search engine, it was like $500 a year. And most dealers are paying more than that a month these days. But again, what you got back then wasn't remotely what it is now. So worked, did a lot of sales in the beginning, then kind of went under retention with them. And then towards the end, which back then we called them program managers, I kind of started working all the corporate aspects. So it was working with the Polaris's or the BRP's or whatever OEM, and it was trying to get us endorsed for co-op and then also to the dealer meetings. I just found a picture of one of our booths. So my first Polaris dealer meeting was October 10th of 2000. The first year I ever went to Indy back in the day was 2002, and basically went to every single Indy from there. And obviously now AIM and, you know, just the countless number of shows. 50 Below, and again, this is going back 7-8 years ago. Obviously, people that had them went through a bankruptcy, and then ARI bought them out of bankruptcy. So then I became an ARI employee. Worked for them for several years doing the same job, you know, growing their platform. As you know, obviously ARI then bought Dealer Spike. Since then has kind of morphed into what they call Lead Venture. They have several brands under them. I left a few years ago, went to go work for a small startup called Digital Power Solutions that actually does like a little widget that goes on websites for trade values. Then dabbled actually in the automotive industry for a little bit. And then about 3 years ago, I was actually at the SEMA show. And then our VP of sales called up and we were looking to expand our business development relationship at Lightspeed because it was just too big for one person. So he called up to see if I have anybody, you know, interested that I would know. And I'm like, you know what? I actually do. And then it was kind of fast tracked. And now we're coming up in January here. I'll be at Lightspeed for 2 years.
Nice, nice. Okay, so you definitely have a nice little background within power sports. It sounds like mostly on the vendor side. Any experience working in any dealerships or anything like that?
No, but I will say through the years, not only my local dealers, but I get out and I do travel a lot. So it's been different 20 groups or the dealer shows, and I try to get to different dealers myself. But I have learned immensely by going in, and I'm not just going there to say hi. I'll be there for an hour or two, but it's sitting with the owner, the sales manager. And through those years, I've got to meet a lot of reps between the different distributors and then the OEMs that I still talk to today. And just learning the businesses from them, as well as obviously the, I don't know, dozens to hundreds of corporate office visits. And that's one of my things I really enjoy, you know, going out where even, you know, this last BRP show was in the Atlanta area. So I got to go to the dealer meeting for 2 days. And then since Honda and Yamaha are literally out in the area, we had meetings one day with one and the next the other. So as far as power sports, no, I guess, you know, back in the day, I was a sales manager and ran a store for Champ Sports. So I had some retail at that extent, not power sports stuff. So I do understand the retail part of it and running and inventory and all that other stuff. But no, just doing this for, you know, almost 24 years now, being in the industry and the hundreds of hours hanging out in dealerships. And it's not just sales. It's going back and getting to know the service reps and the service managers, or hanging out in the parts department, or helping them out, you know, when they're doing different things like that. So that's been kind of my background for that.
Hey guys, this episode is brought to you by Moto Hunt Premium. Moto Hunt Premium empowers power sports dealers with data and technology to give the best possible market advantage on every vehicle at your dealership. Moto Hunt Premium offers a suite of features such as real-time market analysis, inventory management, and up-to-date pricing guides like JD Power and NPA. Dealers love to leverage the platform to identify potential inventory risks and potential issues with your online listings. And it also helps to execute make and model strategies, enabling dealers to help move inventory faster and make more profit. To start leveraging our technology at your dealership, go to motohuntpremium.com. That's motohuntpremium.com to learn more and request a free inventory audit for your dealership today. Okay, good. Well, I mean, certainly industry experience is something that a lot of these dealerships are looking for. And, you know, they want to make sure they're talking to the guys that have been in the game for a little while, right? And yes. Then you mentioned DPS, Digital Power Solutions. So shout out to my boy, Chris Purser, worked with him for a very long time. He's the brains behind most of the operation there. So,
yep, I got to know Chris through my dealings with them. So great company, unfortunately. I mean, I was a COVID casualty, I like to say. A lot of dealers were downsizing back then, and they're still going strong, though. And then there are three verticals on that. So I got to know Chris and then Steve Moore through that. So a great company and no heart, you know, I mean, it was a good time.
Nice. Okay. So let's get into it, man. So Lightspeed Evo, the DMS or data management system solution, whatever you choose your preferred acronym there. The system that I always looked at, you know, is kind of the core of all the operations that we do in any type of sales, marketing, accounting, parts, inventory, service, repair orders. That all revolves around this nuclei, right? This DMS, right? All your systems will tie into it. They'll either push or pull, and it's just where everything goes transactionally based, right? So obviously Lightspeed has had a few versions, a few, you know, different types of evolutions in the past. I remember when I first stepped into power sports, it was Unix, and then it went to NXT very shortly after. And then now we've had Evo for a couple years. Can you kind of break down a little bit of that history and tell us some of the major changes of just the different evolutions that Lightspeed has gone through?
Yeah, I think it's always an interesting story. So obviously our corporate office is located in Salt Lake City, Utah. And that was kind of the birth of Lightspeed. So going back to, I think, 1986, there was a couple Honda dealers locally that back then, obviously, pen and paper, needed something to start tracking inventory. Hired a couple guys to come out and build, I'm guessing, some DOS version that ultimately became Lightspeed. Shortly after that, Bell and Howell came out and then purchased the Lightspeed version. And then they started running and bringing it up as a company. Bell and Howell then sold it to ADP. So ADP, as we know, obviously the big payroll financial company for years, it used to be ADP Lightspeed. Then ADP basically took all their finance, their data services companies. So that not only was Lightspeed, but that was also like the Drive, which is the cars. And they basically created CDK Global Rec, which was Lightspeed. It was the automotive side. And then we used to have a heavy equipment side. With that. And so then that ran for several years. And now going back a year and a half ago we were a publicly traded company, and CDK was then acquired by Brookfield, which is a private investment company out of Canada. So at that point, bought everything as a whole, and then now we're private. So now we go back about 6 months now, Lightspeed has become its own LLC. And so we are currently working very hard, and it's going to take a while, but we are no longer affiliated with CDK at all. CDK also sold off their heavy equipment division, so they're really just focused on automotive, and then they have like their E-Lead CRM and stuff like that. So Lightspeed now is really trying to become what it's, everybody knows us as Lightspeed. I mean, we've been around for a long time, obviously, going on, you know, almost 40 years now, but kind of the idea, even if you go back a year ago, we never had our own Facebook page or our own LinkedIn page. It was always a port. We could do posts, but it was under the CDK umbrella. So now we're able to, you know, directly market, hire, do everything within CDK. You know, we're currently working on a lot of internal stuff, you know, insurances or whatever it is to even separate us a little further. So I think by the first of the year, there'll be a much bigger split with that. But that's also brought a lot of growth for us going forward. We just actually last week closed, you know, some new, we're hiring 7 new sales guys. And these are new positions, not replacements. We actually finally have our own marketing department dedicated to Lightspeed with that. So I think you're seeing a lot of growth in that. We're hiring a lot more developers. You know, we've surpassed now 3,800 dealers in the marketplace. As you talked about, Jacob, is we are by far the number one in power sports. We've been that way for years and years, but we're also the number one in marine, and we're the fastest growing in RV. Plus we're starting to get into outdoor power equipment a little bit in the trailer segment. And then we're going after some golf car dealers now too. So we're definitely growing in some different verticals, but you know, obviously still growing in power sports. And, you know, one of the things I think that makes us special is of the number of integrations that we try to do and work with the OEMs. At the bottom line, we've talked about, as you said, is we are kind of the heart of the dealership. And it's not just our DMS, it's basically any DMS out there. So we're gonna obviously do their inventory for major units and parts. They're gonna run, you know, if somebody comes to the parts counter, they're gonna do a PO through the system. They're gonna do an RO for warranty work. They're gonna sell the major unit, you know, with that. One of the things, obviously, that Lightspeed has that some of the other DMSs don't have directly, they may integrate with, say, a QuickBooks or something like that, but we have a very powerful accounting module that can really run the whole dealership with that, too. But one of, like, my focuses is we're trying to do more integrations with the OEMs to the fact that we're never trying to take away their portal. So if it's a Boss Web or a YDS or Players Dealers or whatever the portal is that the dealer's using, the dealer's still going to go and do a bunch of stuff within that day to day. But the idea is, what can we do that they're already doing in the DMS that they don't have to rekey a second time with that? So I think that's really the push. And I believe, you know, we have the most integrations with the most OEMs out there, and we're still trying to do more. And it's always a combination of, you know, time and resources with that. So we a lot of these ideas that we've had some integrations with Honda that have been up for, you know, 10 years, but they took 2 to 4 years back in the day. You know, we would go meet and we would talk about a concept, and then it would like, yeah, this makes sense. So we're always trying to address, you know, what can we do better to help out the dealer and the OEM? And then if we can kind of be that bridge and make it easier.
Got it. So what kind of integrations are you talking about specifically?
These are all on our website. So we've had some press releases on that. So one of the newer ones we launched out probably about 90 days or so ago was with Yamaha. So the idea is unit warranty registrations are something that needs to happen, obviously, so that the OEM wants to get the customer's contact info. So A, they have a start date for the factory warranty, but B, if there's any recalls or bulletins or anything like that, they have a contact to send that information to. So typically you'll log into their system and then you got to put the unit information in there and then all of the customer information. Well, they've already sold the unit in Lightspeed. So you have a customer record with all their address and contact information, and you have the unit they sold, you know, VIN, year, make, model, price, and all that. So now within Yamaha, they know if they're a Lightspeed dealer. So it doesn't show up if they're a non-dealer, but all they have to do now is put in the finalized deal number from Lightspeed, hit one button, and in real time, it'll pull in all the unit, all the customer information. Okay. So we like to say probably cutting down at least 80% of the rekeying on that. And an older one we've had for quite a while is we actually have a separate one with Honda. So once the dealer finalizes the unit in Lightspeed, it'll automatically send over in a pending state all the warranty registration in Honda IM. So it's kind of the reverse. It does the same thing. Ultimately, the idea is we want to cut down on integrations, you know, time that it takes if it's the F&I manager, whoever's doing those forms and having to rekey that stuff. Because at the end of the day, they're usually not doing it at the day the customer is there. They're going to do it, you know, a week or so after. Because sometimes, as we know, the finalized unit doesn't happen the day the customer picks it up, because they might be waiting to get the, you know, financing back from the bank to pay it off, or there's a couple things that have to happen with that. So we usually give it a little lead time on that. But, you know, that's one integration. This summer we did a new integration with BRP for just normal warranty work. So now once you create your RO, you add all the labor, you know, the jobs on that, all the parts to it, and then you save it. And then a new button literally appears within Lightspeed, and you can send it directly to BRP's warranty system without having to log. You're still going to have to log into their system and actually approve it, but now you don't have to key all those parts, which you did the RO in Lightspeed. You don't have to rekey any of those because they'll just show up on that. So those are a couple time-saving ones on there. A newer product we had that we just also launched with Yamaha is like MPI sheets. So obviously, you know, a customer brings in their unit to, you know, to have it worked on or whatever. So they want to see, you know, what's passing and failing on the bike, the snowmobile, whatever it is. And so we load all their MPI sheets per line. We basically digitize those. And then so the tech can actually, he could do them at his desktop, but they're also available on the mobile app. So if he's got his phone or he's using a tablet of some sort, he can literally just push the buttons, you know, green, red, yellow, depend on what it is, put notes in there. And then we have a product called e-signature, which is kind of like a DocuSign, but the tech can literally send that MPI sheet directly to the customer. He can sign off on it, hit submit, and then now that'll live in his record. We have another OEM that's actually, I have a call with later this week that is going to also start supplying those out. So I should say the MPI sheets, we do have those also with Ducati right now out there. So a lot of these are new. And as you, what you'll find out, Jacob, is, you know, we might start with one OEM and then they start they start seeing what other OEMs are doing. What is kind of fun, and I've heard this from more than one of the manufacturers out there, is they do really have a vested interest in the dealers to some degree, is they want to be kind of the most integrated because they want to make it easy for their dealers to do business with them. Because as a sales guy, the our absolutely worst thing we like doing is paperwork. So you sell something, you don't want to have to spend 2 hours after it doing paperwork. Obviously, that's sometimes what the F&I manager gets stuck doing on that with that. So the idea is if you carry 3-4 lines and maybe one or two of your lines have these really good integrations and two don't, naturally, what do you think the salesperson's going to start trying to push or sell? He's going to do the ones that are the easiest for him to work on. Hopefully it's the ones that the dealership makes the most margin or he can make the most commission, but that's not always the case either. But they're looking for ease on that. And I think we're also trying to continually looking at dealerships are starting, you know, what I've seen now is, you know, in my 20 plus years is a lot of the dealers that were the owners now are starting to pass them on to their kids. So we're getting to that younger generation now. And I even look at where my son's 20. I mean, it's all about on your mobile phone. It's all about ease of use. So trying to make it as easy for these younger kids coming into dealerships so they don't have to also teach them, you know, not only the DMS, again, doesn't matter which one, they can be complicated and there's a timeline that takes to get to know them. But now we don't have to also teach them 7 OEM portals and 4 distributor portals and all these other systems, because sometimes you don't always have to log into those if we have the correct integrations between the manufacturer and the DMS system.
Wow. Okay. So lots of OEM partnerships, integrations going on. Can you tell me about any other non-OEM integrations, you know, with maybe different vendors or being able to have the ability for an open API or some other kind of mechanism that a dealer can tap that same information to use in a custom project?
Well, I guess we could even talk, obviously, leads are a very big topic out there. So although we do have a texting product, it's not used so much at the sales.
I was going more or less the route of, say, like inventory, right? So if I have a third party like Shopify program, or if I've got an inventory program that wants to get some data over here, what would that look like
So we do have a couple of companies that we partner with, and we do have what's called our 3PA. So we do have the ability for a dealer to sign up and get access to their inventory. Would include obviously the inventory numbers and pricing. You know, a newer project we just started here this summer, which was new for us because coming from the websites, obviously map pricing was a big thing. Working with, say, Parts Unlimited or Western Power Sports and some of the OEMs, because obviously when you're selling online directly, you have to try to do those hooks. But when we're kind of like in the store, that was never with that. So yes, we do have, I mean, we'll bring up ARI. So we've had a longstanding integration for web orders on their e-commerce platform. So we can send over inventory and pricing that they can pull directly out of Lightspeed. And then once the order is actually placed on the ARI website, the order, there'll be a in the parts tab, there'll actually be a new tab that'll show web orders within Lightspeed. So they don't have to rekey all the customer info and all the parts. So there are some hooks with that. We don't have anything directly with, say, a Shopify or stuff like that, but we do have a lot of APIs that are available to the dealers. And they're very easy to set up. We'll basically set them up with their own credentials. They can pass that on to their website provider and they can start pulling that information immediately.
Awesome. Okay. I know that's something that's kind of new, right? Or at least the availability of it. I recall, you know, under the CDK Global, Rain, that you could get things called 3PAs or third-party applications, but they were very costly. Is that still the same case now?
It's about $100 a month, I think, on average. So, I mean, I don't know if that's costly. I mean, the idea is if you're going to use that and fully, you know, support a full e-commerce solution that you're hopefully going to be doing millions of dollars on, that's very inexpensive to be able to get your inventory. But, you know, with those costs, I mean, we have literally teams of developers that are managing those connections and stuff like that and making sure everything's normalized and is pulling and stuff like that. So
Good.
I think in the grand scheme of things, no, coming from the website business too, to have that connection and that hook on that, that's pretty, pretty inexpensive.
Super important too. Yeah. Okay, yes. Cool. So let's talk a little bit about what you had mentioned earlier, hiring and scaling. You know, Lightspeed DMS is in a hiring mode. And from your experience, you know, what types of roles should a growing dealership consider, you know, when we're looking at the support side or we're looking to manage this DMS, right? Tell me a little bit more about what's going on, right? Support is a very, very big word going on with a lot of vendors. A lot of these online companies, these dealerships, they subscribe to a lot of vendors and they're just kind of feeling like oversubscribed or the saturation in the market. And when they have a problem, you know, they don't really feel that there's, you know, a human that they can talk to. So tell us a little bit more about the support side of the new Lightspeed Evo.
Yeah. And I think that is a big portion where I'll be honest, we've had problems in the past and I think you've brought it up too. So dealers pay a lot of money for Lightspeed, so they obviously want to be taken care of if it's either an issue or if it's just something they need to learn more with that. So first and foremost, all of our support is stateside. Everybody is, and I don't know the percentages, but a large percent of them are in the Salt Lake office and still go in a couple days a week. Obviously, you know, post COVID, we are still almost a 100% remote. We have nothing going forward that we're going to be mandated to go into the office. Great for me living in Minnesota. So I get to go visit once in a while, but we just recently launched a whole new phone system and ticketing system here within the last 60 days with that. And we hired a new director probably a year and a half ago for our customer support. And it was something that I heard stories that literally dealers were calling in and waiting an hour, which is absolutely ridiculous. I think right now the matrix, honestly, we're within a couple minutes, depending on that. But we're really getting a new, you know, even the idea is our accounting can be very, very hard. So we now have dedicated support reps that are very versed and know our accounting system, so we can get dealers, not just because, again, a generalist is great, but like to learn 10 things on Lightspeed takes a long time, maybe to learn two or three. So as we're hiring new people, we're trying to get them into the different departments. So as they go there, I don't know if you've been versed on that, but we've done so much in the last 6 months on new webinars. And so we have our like Wednesday webinar session. So we just had one on our new scheduler, or not actually, that one's this coming Wednesday. So we have a new one coming up that the dealers can subscribe to. And most of our, we have two trainers that do all these, and both of them have been with like Lightspeed. So one of the guys has been with Lightspeed, I believe, for 12 years. Previously worked in a dealership that used Lightspeed for, I believe, about 12 years. So he was talking, he's got like 24, 25 years of combined Lightspeed experience. So takes that from there. So we're trying to do more with that. Obviously, within Lightspeed, up on the right-hand corner, there's a Service Connect button that's, you know, internal. You have to be logged into Lightspeed, but there's a search bar. With that, one of the transitions from CDK, there used to be like CDK University. So now it's literally Lightspeed University. So there's a lot more on-demand videos. And we're really trying to get more into that video. And going back, I said with the young kids is textbooks are great. People like to read. We still do, you know, as we're doing releases, we have our release notes, our docs, stuff like that, the PDFs. But I think just like myself, a lot of people learn more by being able to watch a video, being it could be 5 minutes or it could be an hour, depending on how long the video is. But the idea is there's resources out there now for dealers that they can go back and watch it and watch it again and watch it a third time if they don't get it. From there, obviously, we always, you know, if some, even from OEMs, I'll have reps that'll reach out, they'll have a question or something like that. So we'll either get them to their inside rep, which hopefully they can also help them out. Cause I mean, every dealer has phone number and email to call their rep at any time. Other than that, we have obviously our general customer service, which they'll get routed to, you know, based on, you know, it's going to have, you know, X amount of prompts, ask them what kind of where they're trying to get to, and then we'll hopefully get them taken care of right away. But I think even being at the dealer shows where I go, you know, one of the dealer shows I went to right away in the beginning, I mean, I had, to be honest, I had a couple reps or dealers that were just not super thrilled with us. And it was around support. I've just recently, you know, the player shows and the BRP shows and even AIM last year, we're not seeing that anymore. And I think that's a success to our customer service department as not only, I believe, has better processes and better tools in place, but they have been hiring also. So that's part of, it's not just about us hiring more sales guys. We're also scaling with every other department. So, you know, we're adding another inside sales person. So as you know, so like our outside guys have territories and they get a new dealer. And then once they become a dealer, then they kind of go into inside. So they'll help manage that account long-term with that. So they have that one point of conversation. But again, we're, you know, if it's implementation, if it's training, those departments are all growing with that. So I think kind of numbers, if you go back to Lightspeed, let's say 2 years ago, we're probably at about 150 employees. And I think today we just surpassed 260. And we have, and then that doesn't even, I don't think, include like the new sales guys and some of these other new hires. So I would predict by the end of 24, we'll probably be well above 300 employees.
Okay. It sounds like you're beefing up on all fronts. And yes. Yeah, I agree. I think in the last couple of years that, you know, there's definitely been a shift and you can see some of the service being a little bit better coming out of Lightspeed Evo. But yeah, in the last couple of years, I'm sure most of your dealer base was not too happy with the level of support or let's just say the advancement of the product, right? So you've got a little bit of an uphill battle to, you know, to kind of fight.
Yep.
And, you know, Jeremy, I'll be transparent with you too. I mean, when we talked about coming on a show, it's like, all right, what are we going to talk about, right? Are the dealerships actually going to gain value out of this conversation? And, you know, committing an hour to their time to this podcast to listen to two guys talk about Lightspeed Evo, what would they get out of it? So my next question is let's just go into the value proposition for the dealers, right? Let's assume that a majority of people listening to this probably already has an account, whether they love it or whether they hate it, whether they feel that they're getting support. What would you say out of all of your 30,000 foot view that you can see are the top three, maybe even give you the top two pain points that power sports and motorcycle dealers are experiencing right now, and maybe a couple ways that we can help them using this DMS product?
If you're a motorcycle and power sports dealer, you already know the biggest marketplace websites are clunky, slow, and riddled with ads. Even if you pay big bucks to list your inventory, your competitors can pay even more to outrank you. That's why we created MotoHunt. Our site is famously streamlined and quick, with no extra nonsense to confuse buyers or dealers. That's why we rank so high in search results without having to spend millions in advertising. Why pay three times as much? At MotoHunt, one low price covers everything a dealer needs to get their inventory listed and collecting leads fast, with no multi-level pricing tiers and no way for your competition to out-premium you. No matter how many listings or leads you generate, your subscription price is the same. Click the link to find out how MotoHunt can help you start generating more leads today.
I think, you know, the number one, and I see this, and again, I don't think this is unique to Lightspeed either, but I think we have a very complex program and it does have a learning curve. And I think it's like everything where you can get into, if you're using something like, you know, like your phone or whatever, when you're on your phone 8 hours a day, you get to know your phone pretty well. And I think that's the idea eventually with Lightspeed is the more you're in it and the things you start, you know, kind of unraveling, where I was just in one of my local dealers that's been with Lightspeed for a while. And he was actually super happy because he's like, you know, we're starting to really get an understanding of our service scheduler now. So they're having their techs use and they're using it to have them clock in and clock out, where we've had this functionality for months now, and they just finally got in it. Or I think the vast amount of reports that the dealers can export about their business. I think what I've seen in the years and years of this is there's always two kind of dealers that you deal with. You have the dealers that are working in their business and the dealers that are working on their business. And I think there's a hybrid that can be good in both for some of them, where some of them you go in there and it's like the owner is literally ringing up parts and he's back in service and he's running around doing so many things, still has a successful business. But then you got the other owner that every time you go visit him, he's always in his office and he's working on maybe trainings and having sales meetings and then working with reps, or obviously looking at his media and what he's spending and stuff like that. He's trying to build his business and grow it even more, because at the end of the day, most of these guys are successful. If it's even a small guy, he's got 8-10 employees. They're all getting paid decent. They get to sell some super cool stuff. But how do we get him to the next level and keep doing that? And I think the idea is, as they start to learn and actually utilize the systems, how they work, another example is the tools of, like, if I owned a business, just like we do in sales, like I should know every salesperson the next day. Do they have calls to make? How many do they have? How many follow-ups? Do they have units being picked up?
Well, let's hold on there. Let's go back to that number one. So if I'm hearing you correctly, the biggest pain point that dealers are having right now is training, or just knowing the system on a day-to-day basis?
Both, because I think we're getting a lot of, as we hear, it's hard to get employees and it's hard to sometimes get quality employees. So okay.
And so what is Lightspeed Evo doing to help address that problem of the training issue, whether they've got the right amount of staff.
Like I said, our first and foremost is the new Lightspeed University that just launched literally a month ago. So we are, the amount of videos that we're pumping out right now on everything. For instance, you can go in there and you can watch, like I said, the BRP warranty one. You can literally type in BRP as a tagline and find out different integrations. So we're really trying to, and that's like a 5-minute video, super easy to follow along. Super easy to do that. We're also trying to do, quite frankly, more marketing out to the dealers to let them know we're constantly releasing stuff every single month. But I don't think they always know. And as you know, like in the bottom left-hand corner of Lightspeed, we have what we call tiles. They rotate around different things, and some about our integrations or new products or whatever. But I think there is a lot of products or stuff that comes out that the dealers don't always know, because again, they're getting a gazillion emails from the OEMs and us. So we're trying to, at a marketing point now, trying to educate and get more dealers to see what's going on and trying to chunk them down, I guess, more. Cause I think, a mutual friend in the industry, Mark Sheffield, just had a LinkedIn post about us probably 2 months ago. And he really brought up the point of our release notes and how sometimes they get buried and not everybody goes in and actually looks at them. So we're trying to get more exposure on the products we have. And again, we have some really good integrations that dealers aren't either using today, didn't know that they even had, or how do they use them, I think are the kind of the three buckets with that. So I think the education portion of it, with hiring, again, more marketing people and more what we're kind of calling customer success to do that. And we've also started an initiative. We're starting to have more calls with OEMs and service managers and district sales managers, because they're actually wanting to have a working understanding, not to be an expert by any means, but then if they're in a dealership, they actually can talk like, oh, there's that report's over here, or it's report 501A or whatever it is. They're more educated going into their dealerships, especially when we have 60 to 70% of some of their dealers, they're seeing a lot of them running our system. So then they can be more educated.
Okay, so let's keep on that training vein here. I have not seen what this looks like, so maybe just help me as the curious individual that I am understand more about it. Do you break it up into department? You break it up by a role, because you can have a very different experience interacting with the DMS as a sales manager that you could a service advisor. So kind of maybe just on a high level, break it down into how this affects each department in the dealership, and then maybe position by position within the department?
Yep. So two ways. So obviously Service Connect is kind of a free for all. So you can go into Service Connect as any user, and you can go in there and type in basically any keyword you can think of. Like if you want to learn more about the 3PA, you get documentation on that. If you type in BRP, you'll get or Polaris or whatever the brand, you'll get anything that has contains those. Within the CD or Lightspeed University, the dealer owner, GM, whatever, does have the opportunity to set up kind of criteria by department, like you said. So they can actually submit and put, you know, if it's service guy, because again, like the service guys don't need to necessarily be doing sales modules or stuff like that. And that's kind of how obviously is it's broken down within Lightspeed, because unless you're the GM, you don't always see all, you know, the section for parts or service.
Well,
or
let's say I am a GM, right? And the traditional career path for a lot of GMs has been through sales, right? That's just a common thing. But let's say I've spent the last 10, 15, 20 years as in the sales department, sales manager, and then now I'm this GSM and now GM, right? And I'm now having to interact with the service manager and the parts manager. Could I go in there and learn how to make a repair order or learn how to do a parts ticket?
Absolutely. All that stuff is available. And like I said, we're starting to get out of a big portion back in the day was like PDFs. It was, and they had screenshots and stuff like that, but they were harder to do. So now our progression now is everything is video. So basically video. One of our trainers that is very diverse will use Zoom or whatever we're using and record it. And they can dictate it after and then put notes with that. And then that becomes our training video that then can be downloaded or accessed 24 hours a day.
Nice. Okay. And that was the first pain point is a lot of training, a lot of education towards how to use the product and the various roles. What would you say the second biggest pain point that you're seeing dealers face right now in regards to the Evo DMS?
I think it's lack. So we always got to bring it back to sales right now, because that's what obviously sell. That's why dealers are in business. That's why everybody's in business. We're here to sell stuff. And I think coming out of COVID, we hear time and time is everybody turned into a clerk. There was no inventory. There was no parts. There was no accessories coming in. They could sell anything. You came in looking for Model X. You probably left with Model Y because that's all you're going to get. I think now, you know, as dealers start using now, like CRMs are becoming much more predominant. So the idea is, you know, not only do we have a CRM, but they don't have to use ours. They could use a DP360 or a TrafficLog Pro or whatever it is. Having those systems and I don't get back to training, but training their sales guys that, okay, a lead comes in from X, from the OEM, from their website, from CycleTrader, wherever it is. We need to call that dealer, like immediate that customer immediately. You know, we do the same thing. We send out marketing and we, you know, you got open rates and click rates. Well, if somebody's clicking on something, they're engaged, that you should probably follow up with them. Because I think we're still kind of in that gray area coming out of COVID where we're finally getting some inventory, depending on the brand. And now they're actually having to sell it. Where, you know, we saw that here 6+ months ago. Factory promotions are finally coming back and corporate promotions. Those weren't a thing. They didn't have to offer financing. They didn't have to offer a $500 or $1,000 rebate. Now they're having that inventory. Those are coming back. So I think it's getting back and the dealers need to get, they need to use the tools that they're given and they need to start tracking everything that's going on. And it starts at the top. And if the GM or the sales manager, the owner are not helping in making their sales guys do it and all do it the same way, those are the dealers that are going to be struggling.
Okay. I get that. I mean, time is money too, right? So do you have any, you know, KPIs or key performance indicators, or maybe you just mentioned tools that dealerships really need to know, like, hey, here's my top tool that you got to do this or look at this to really be efficient with your DMS?
Yeah, I think one of the big pushes, and it's just starting to get traction more in power sports, but marine and RV are really behind that. And it's our RECT report, which is the repair event cycle times. So basically, from the minute the customer brings in their unit for work to the service time, a clock starts. So they got to bring it in. They got a diagnosis. They got to figure out what's going on. They got to get approval. They got to order parts. Now they got to wait for the parts. Now they either got to get the unit back or bring it in. Then they got to fix it. And then they got to get it out. So one of the things that is really being looked at right now, and we work with a lot of the OEMs on this because the service managers are really interested in a lot of this data, is how do we continually get that down, because at the end of the day, if I'm a consumer and I'm constantly having a brand that's in the shop, or because again, I'm in Minnesota, we have summer and we have winter. We have like two seasons. And so if my sled all of a sudden, you know, we don't get a long season, and if all of a sudden something's wrong and I can't ride that for 6 weeks, almost half my season's gone and stuff yeah. like that. So we're starting to really push a lot of that stuff.
One of the other things that I'll bring up on a previous conversation you and I had, I always really liked this map in Power Sports Business that I've got here on the camera. And what this is it's called the Dealer Financial Snapshot. And it breaks up the continental United States into Northwest, West, South, Midwest, and Northeast. And this is all light speed data that kind of shows increases or decreases in the parts service, major unit sales, and then just an overall as a dealership. And this is a monthly piece that you put out to PSV, and you kind of give a little bit of a synopsis of it. But there's also a live version of this on the website, right, where I can go to this page on Lightspeed Evo's website and look at it anytime. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
Yeah, so we just launched our new website here a couple months back. But yes, we publish that, as people know. We give a lot of aggregate data. So what that really means is Power Sports Business does not get any one dealer's sales number. So we take an aggregate of everybody and have been doing this for years and years on that. So yes, the idea is you can go to our website under our data services solutions portal, and we have all our sales numbers. It does give some more numbers in there. So the one on our website actually breaks out V-Twin and Metric, and it'll show how many dealers are being looked at for that. Obviously, you know, we have way many more Metric versus obviously V-Twin, obviously with us having a big competitor in the Harley market out there. What it also does on that website too, or that page, is you can also see marine and RV, since those are two other of our main industries. So the power sports dealers can kind of see what the marine dealers are seeing, as well as RV. And we just got done talking about that RECT report. We also make that available for all three industries on there. A couple other kind of cool reports is, you know, one of the things that gets very much used in Lightspeed is our kind of our parts locator. So the idea with that is, anybody in the business, if they're going and looking up a part and they don't have it in stock, it'll do a little button, will show up in Lightspeed, it'll say parts locator, and then they'll get a little pop-up on their page. And what that does is it breaks into kind of three little segments. The first segment would show any of their, say, other stores they have in their group. So, you know, we'll use a Ride Now or something. So every other store that maybe has that part in there would show, you know, 1 to 9+ by distance, and would show that dealer like, okay, I don't have any in, but I'll just have, you know, the guy's going to be up there anyways getting a unit or something, we'll just have that part transfer over here. The next bucket, the bulk of our dealers do expose their inventory, and so they can see any other dealers that have that inventory, and they'll have their part, usually the part's name, the manager's name and contact information. And that, again, that's by distance. So the closest dealer to them would be listed first, and then they can scroll through any dealer that has in there. And then the bottom section has the OEM or the distributor warehouse inventory that we get. So the idea is, let's just, you will use Parts Unlimited. You know, they have whatever their 8 or 9 warehouses right now. It'll show by warehouse and the availability of that. So I think the idea is, if it's maybe it's a part the dealer doesn't have in, they can quickly within one screen tell the customer like, yeah, I don't have it in stock, my other stores don't have a stock, actually all the dealers that run our software don't have it, and then the warehouse doesn't have it, so right now I don't know if I can get you that part. Or they could go look after, you know, for something else comparable on that. So that's, you know, on there. But there's a report on that page that'll show the number of searches by OEM, and it's, some of them are in the tens and tens of thousands on there that people are looking for parts, and it ranks them on there too. So that's kind of an interesting report to see, you know, by OEM, what are dealers actually searching for? They can actually use that search function for major units. So maybe had a customer come in that was looking for something, you know, maybe a used something or an older model, That wasn't, you know, they can get or they couldn't find on CycleChurn. They could maybe find if another dealer has it within the network, and then they could call them up and then arrange, you know, a dealer trade and see if they can make a deal happen.
Yeah, it's cool stuff. We'll definitely provide a link in the show notes to this episode. So check that out for sure. Yeah, when you showed me that the first time, it was kind of like, oh, wow, this is right here. It's publicly available and you can take a look at that. And so kind of keeping with the market trends, you know, idea here, being that you are the big gorilla in the room, right? You have a big market share in terms of DMS. That means a lot of different data from all the departments coming into it at once. You can kind of take a collective into an aggregate and maybe look at some trends. And so with your finger on the pulse of the trend side of things, do you see any emerging trends in parts and sales and service that maybe any of the dealership listeners should maybe be prepared for or be looking at? Seasonality into some different year cyclical type situations? Anything on that?
Well, we've definitely look at, you know, we look at stock too. So obviously we can kind of look in that a little bit too. So we've seen that come up.
Inventory stock.
Inventory on major units and stuff like that. So that's definitely coming back. But, you know, over the last couple months, you just showed the magazine. I think we've seen the sales are getting better. They're not obviously where we want them to be, but they're way better than if you look at RV. I mean, RV is really still getting hit hard right now. But I think a lot of our numbers do go hand in hand with, you know, the OEMs and how they're doing. Obviously, most of the OEMs we deal with are all publicly traded companies. So, you know, Polaris and Harley just had their earnings calls here within the last 2 weeks, and both were down a little bit with that. So we kind of see that go hand in hand with the dealers. But I think, you know, at the end of the day, it's the dealers that are going above and beyond and doing what they need to, you know, the dealers that are in the 20 groups and learning stuff and taking those practices back to their dealerships are going to be the ones that are going to succeed and continue doing well.
You mentioned 20 groups. Are you providing any of this aggregate data that maybe doesn't get published on the website or the PSB magazine? Do you share any of this data with the 20 groups?
We do not, but we do have. So obviously with the 20 groups, every dealer does have to provide their financials, and then they have their own system. So, you know, with Spader and Garage Capazzo, that we have the ability that the dealers can then subscribe and consent. And then we can actually, through our API, send all that data so they don't have to manually pull a bunch of stuff. So we make it much easier for them. And then obviously they'll go ahead and use their aggregator machines and do their magic when they're presenting on that. So no, we really, you know, again, with the aggregate, really what you see on our website and that is what's available. We're not sharing that with a lot of third parties like that to show that by dealer information.
Well, as we round out the end of our show here, I just want to say appreciate you coming on. You know, you're a rep for Lightspeed Evo, right? So obviously there's a lot of ears on this program, and we're going to be trying to put as much value out there as we can, especially for the dealers that already have your product. So in the last question that I've got here, and I always kind of like to end the segment with this, is that what do you kind of foresee in terms of the next several years in the power sports industry? Now, before you answer that, just kind of think about it for a moment that you're sitting perceivably on top of one of the biggest solutions in the space right now that controls a lot of data for all the departments. And I know you got to be sensitive to what you can and cannot talk about in one particular dealer or another, but just the state of the industry as a whole, what do you see, what do you foresee or expect in the next coming years?
I think what we've been talking about is, I think, you know, we've seen more consolidations. We've seen more bigger groups. You know, there's less of the sole proprietorship and then more dealer groups buying out and growing. With that, I think that's going to continue. You know, I think personally, I think in the next 5-10 years, the number of franchise, it'll be smaller. I think we're going to see less dealers in whole, but I think we're going to see more stronger dealers. I'm always on that fence. I love the ma and pa feel of the little dealership, and especially being up in kind of northern Minnesota, there's a lot of people that still have these little single line dealerships, and they're great people, and they got their family dog that's with them all day. But you know, as a consumer, you go there and they don't have, you know, they don't usually have the credit lines like the big guys and that, and they just don't stock nearly the amount of units and the amount of parts and accessories. So again, I don't want Walmart, but there's that hybrid on that. So I think that's, gonna change a little bit, and we're continuously, you know, the idea with Lightspeed is if you're multi-stores, it's super easy for transfers, for all that stuff. So we're going to continue working on that. And then, you know, at some point, you know, just, it's about trying to simplify every process. And we're kind of starting to think and look at that to where, okay, I've been a guy that's used Lightspeed for 20 years and I know it like no tomorrow. It's kind of like back in the day, like Parts Unlimited, like they would know on page 482 exactly that part number because they went there 50 times a day, you know, thumbing through the books. These guys got so good at using the books, and now we're trying to like make these different digitized stuff with that. Yeah. I think that's a big thing, is trying to start looking at every process. And, you know, if it's five steps, can it go down to three? You know, and again, some of it will be internally, I think, of Lightspeed. And I think some of it will be continuing to push and work with the OEMs, and making those processes easier, or, you know, not even easier, but maybe more one streamlined without having to do anything, you know, with that. So I think those are some things we'll continue to keep looking at.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, on that note, Jeremy, big thanks to you, man, for coming on. And I know you're a busy guy there working with all the OEMs and all the dealerships that you service there. So appreciate your time to kind of help us understand the Lightspeed Evo DMS just a little bit more. Again, his name is Jeremy Johnson. He's the director of OEM Solutions, and he's out there in Minnesota. How can people get a hold of you, Jeremy?
They can email me at jeremy.johnson@lightspeeddms.com, or my phone number is 218-348-4015, or just go to the lightspeeddms.com website. And if you have any information on that, just submit one of the forms and then we'll follow up with you.
For sure. We'll include this information into the show notes as well, in case you miss it there. But just again, thank you. And for everybody listening, just wanted to say thank you again for your continued support. And if someone forwarded this to you, make sure to like and subscribe and share to somebody else that you might think might get some value out of this, or maybe they have a Lightspeed Evo product and they just want to know a little bit more about it. So appreciate everybody. And until the next time, we will see you later.
Thank you.